Hello again, you're with the news at one. The Cabinet has been discussing changes to public order policing in Dublin. These had been promised after the November 2023 riot. You'll recall that following the stabbing of three children, the city centre descended into chaos with extensive rioting and looting. Garda cars were burnt out and buses and a Lewis were also set ablaze. Among the changes are the training of more Gardaí in public order policing and the purchase of two water cannon. Ministers have also been considering a report from the Policing Authority, which is understood to highlight a number of issues, including management, resourcing and use of force. The Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, joins us now from our Leinster House studio. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rachel.
Can we start with that report from the Policing Authority? Will you be publishing it and will you be implementing its recommendations?
Yes, I will be publishing it. As you're aware, I brought it before Cabinet this morning and it will be subsequently published. I think it was important that that report was completed. The riot in November 2023 was a very significant event, not just for Dublin, but for the whole country. It requires a really strong response from government. When you look at what's in the Policing Authority report, when it's published, you'll see that there are recommendations contained within it. But also it's important that I assure the public that a lot of progress has been made since the riot in respect of preparing the Gardaí for any future riots that should take place in Dublin or elsewhere. As you mentioned, we now have 1,500 Gardaí personnel who are trained in public order policing. We've 700 of them in Dublin. That's a considerable rise. We've the two water cannon which have been purchased and available. And we also have 15 new public order vans that will be made available throughout this year. Also, one of the concerns we had at the time of the riot was that the Gardaí didn't have proper equipment or better equipment. We've now procured better equipment for the Gardaí. We've spent in total in the region of 2.7 million on better body armour, and also we've improved things like the strength of the pepper spray, and we've more Gardaí available in order to respond to it. So there has been a significant response to date, and in terms of the policing at Authority report, I certainly will be implementing it, and the persons and the body that will be responsible for it will be the new authority, which will come into effect when I commence the 2024 Act.
Since the riot, how many extra Gardaí have been allocated to Dublin?
Well, in terms of public order policing, prior to the riots, there were 200 Gardaí who were trained in public order policing available in Dublin. That number now is 700. So there's 700 Gardaí available for public order policing. Also, since in 2024, 380 new probationer Gardaí who had been attested, have been assigned to Dublin. I can't, obviously, and nor can the Commissioner, just focus on Dublin. Public order is a national issue. It's not just an issue for the capital city. But I think what is apparent, the most important thing that we can have in seeking to respond to public order challenges, is that we have a sufficient number of Gardaí trained to deal with it. And now we have 1,500 Garda personnel trained.
Can we look, though, at those overall numbers? Because across the country, as of the end of January, there were just over 14,000 Gardaí. Now, that was an increase of only about 200 on a year ago. So if Dublin is gaining Gardaí, presumably other areas are losing out.
Well, the issue of Garda numbers is always challenging. Other parts of the country are not losing out, but the Garda Commissioner decides when he gets a new batch of Gardaí that are attested down in Templemore, he decides where they are allocated, and in certain times he'll allocate them to parts of the country and at other times to other parts of the country. For instance, I was down there on the 7th of March. We had 149 new Gardaí attested. The Commissioner is responsible for placing them in terms of attestment.
But there are also significant numbers retiring. So if Dublin is gaining a certain amount of Gardaí and the overall number has only gone up by a couple of hundred, surely there must be places where the number of Gardaí has gone down.
Well, it is a matter for the Garda Commissioner to decide and determine where he wishes Gardaí to go. It is a challenge in terms of trying to recruit Gardaí. But the good news is, and I'm getting slightly more optimistic about this, is that in response to the recent recruitment campaign, over 6,700 people have put in expressions of interest. And more appropriately, I suppose, more relevantly, on the 10th of March just gone, 201 trainee Gardaí entered Templemore. And that's the largest number we've seen since 2019. So listen, one of the consequences of having a very vibrant and full economy and employment sector is that it is hard to recruit people.
And yet you would concede, presumably, that more Gardaí are needed, because just a couple of months ago, the policing authority warned that significantly more Gardaí needed to be recruited and trained.
There's no doubt about that. Everyone wants to see more Gardaí, and the government is committed to it. And if you look at the programme for government, we've said we will recruit 5,000 Gardaí during the term of this government. But we also need to look at innovative measures in terms of trying to ensure that Gardaí are available for frontline duties. Like, for instance, we now have 3,500 civilians who are working within An Garda Síochána. They are now doing jobs that previously were done by members of An Garda Síochána. And in recent years, we've actually seen 900 Gardaí freed up to do frontline duties, because the duties they were previously doing are being performed by civilians. So it's a constant challenge. I don't underestimate the extent of the challenge, but as I've said previously, it's a very rewarding career. And like, as I'm speaking about it, I just want to commend the Gardaí for the excellent work that they have engaged in yesterday in procuring such a large seizure of cocaine that was apprehended in Kilkenny.
At the time of the riot in Dublin, you said the city centre had become a threatening and unsafe place. Does that remain the case?
Well, as I said, and I'm not just going to change my perception just because I'm now minister, at times there are parts of Dublin that are unsafe. And I said that at the time, and regrettably, I think that is still so. But the policing in Dublin, I believe, is going to change. We're going to see greater visibility of Garda Síochána throughout the spine of Dublin. I've spoken to the Commissioner and the Deputy Commissioner in respect to this, and I know and I believe from next week we'll see increased visibility of Gardaí on the streets. We are never going to be able to ensure that a city as vibrant and as large as Dublin is free from all criminal activity. But what people want to see is they want to see that crime is not the norm, and they want to see a visible presence of police and Gardaí in their city centre. That's one something I'm committed to, and I believe that people will see that.
Earlier, Gary Gannon of the Social Democrats said that in the aftermath of the riots, while people had been arrested and appeared before courts, he said the people who spread racist conspiracy theories and mobilised a mob, in his words, that they've faced few consequences. Does he have a point?
Well, it is. There is incitement legislation there that should be availed of. In fairness to An Garda Síochána, they have done a good job in respect of apprehending individuals who were involved in the riots. I know Gary was talking about the people who were behaving online. Mm. But to date, I suppose, there have been 68 arrests. We've seen 4 convictions, and there are 15 people before the district court. It is a matter for the Gardaí to pursue individuals who may have incited the riots. If there were people who were involved in that, they should be investigated, and they should be brought before the courts.
Going back to that time, are you dismayed that someone who the day before the riot tweeted, "Ireland, we are at war," is now being feted in the White House?
Well, listen, I don't control who gets invited to the White House. That's a matter for President Trump. He can invite whoever he wishes. But I think the really significant appearance in the White House on behalf of Ireland was the appearance by the Taoiseach last week, when he did an excellent job in terms of meeting President Trump. America is a very important ally of Ireland, and it's important that President Trump is aware of the sensible and diplomatic leadership that is in the Irish government.
But do you share your cabinet colleagues' unease about the appearance of Conor McGregor?
Well, he wouldn't have been on my invitation list, but I can't start directing President Trump who he should or should not invite into the White House.
There has been some confusion about a proposed sex offenders register. Can you clear that up for us? Who will be on the register and who will be entitled to see it?
Well, I don't think there is confusion. In fact, what has happened is that in the programme for government, there was a commitment that people who had convictions for previous serious sexual offences and offences in respect of against a partner, that we would provide a disclosure scheme in respect of that. And in fact, also today before Cabinet, I brought a report on domestic abuse, the policing of it, by the Garda Inspectorate to Cabinet. One of the recommendations in that report is that we have such a disclosure scheme. At present, officials in my department are working on it. I'm waiting for them to come back to me with proposals in respect of it. I've set out to them what I want to see. But ultimately, I will be coming to Cabinet with proposals in respect of it. So I'm going to wait until I get the advice from colleagues before that.
But just to be clear, this isn't information that would be generally available.
Well, for instance, like if people are convicted of a criminal offence, whether it is rape or sexual assault, like every day on the news and in newspapers, information about persons who are convicted of those offences is available. So, like, I think we need to recognise that type of information is available. I suppose the purpose of this disclosure scheme, however, is to, in order to try to forewarn or to provide information to people who may be in relationships with a person who, unbeknownst to them, have convictions for violence or sexual offences, to inform them about that. That's a different mechanism.
Mm, and in that sort of case, would the Gardaí go to somebody and say, listen, we have some information you should probably know about?
When you look at how it operates in the UK and indeed in Malta, where I spoke to the Chief of Police and the Minister for Justice last week, that is how it operates there, that the information is available to police forces. People can seek information in respect of a person. Obviously, the only person who can seek it is a person who's in an intimate relationship with a person. You can't have somebody like a mother or a sister deciding that they want to try and find out information on behalf of their sister or daughter. But that is how the scheme operates in those countries. So, like, I'm waiting on further advice from my officials in respect to the disclosure scheme, but it is a commitment in the programme for government. It's recommended by the Garda Inspectorate in its report on domestic abuse, and it's something I'm committed to seeing brought through.
Jim O'Callaghan, Minister for Justice, thank you very much for being with us on the News at One this afternoon.